There are a lot of signs that I just do not like. I'm not very fond of stop signs. I don't like yield signs because I got to slow down. But there is one sign that I hate. There is one sign that I abhor. There is one sign that just kind of ties me in knots. And the sign is the road closed sign. Now, some of you smart alecks are thinking, I stole this sign. I didn't. I borrowed it. I'm going to take it back. With permission from one of these DOT guys. So it's legal, so don't be pointing your accusatory finger at me. I didn't steal it. But I hate road closed signs. And especially if it's in an area that I'm not familiar with. So there's a bridge out going to Sanford, and they obviously close the road, and they make you go like 80 minutes out of the way. I mean, I'm just like, and I've been this way, and this week I went that way, and I thought about being like the Dukes of Hazzard and just woo. I was in the church van a few weeks ago from Vacation Bible School. I went and I picked up kids for Vacation Bible School, and the road was good. I come back to drop off these kids, and the stinking sign, road closed. And I didn't like it. So I promise you, and I'm not ripping on any of our DOT guys, it took me an extra, I started my watch, 22 minutes for what should have been a 4-minute little trek. So I dropped the kids off, and so I was like, do I want to do 22 minutes back all the way around? I was like, no. They probably just put the signs out, and it's not really closed. So I went, forgive me, Mr. DOT over there. So I went around the sign. I went down to the bridge, and you know what? It was closed. It was out. They wouldn't let me pass. I hate road closures. They mess up my schedule. They mess up my plan. I just don't like them. Wait, when you come to Acts chapter 16, that's what's going on. The background is Paul has completed his first missionary journey. He's ready to take his second missionary journey. Barnabas has already taken John Mark and gone on his deal. Paul has taken Silas and Timothy with him. They got big plans. They got big dreams. They got big visions. And God puts up a heavenly road closed sign. And Paul teaches us today how to deal with the road closures of life. Sermon's entitled, Road Closed. First truth I want you to see, God's plan for Christians. God's plan for Christians. Acts 16, notice verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. So notice, God's plan for all Christians, number one, is that Christians would serve. S-E-R-V-E. Now notice what they did. They went through the cities. So they went ministering in these cities. They went serving in these cities. They went visiting in these cities. They went telling people about Jesus in these cities. Notice the next phrase. And they delivered the decrees for them to keep. Same phrase was used of Jesus' birth. And there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. It was they were telling them how they should live. They would tell them how they should act. They were telling them what was required of them. Notice on. For to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. Verse 5. And so were the churches established. So they were ministering to these churches. They were serving these churches. They were discipling these churches in the faith. So don't miss it. The job of all Christians is to serve. So I come to you today, and I love you. I like you a lot. I think we're good, and I don't have a vendetta against you. But if you're not serving Jesus, why not? Jesus didn't die on the cross just for you to come and sit on a pew and listen to a sermon. Jesus died on the cross so that you would work, so that you would serve. So number one, God's plan for Christians is to serve. They were serving. God's plan for Christians, number two, is to share. Notice the last part of verse 5. And increased in numbers daily. So this church was growing. The reason they were growing is because they were evangelistic. The reason they were growing and they were growing daily is because they were telling people about Jesus every single day. So I come to you. You don't have to be an extrovert, but you got to share Jesus and tell people about Jesus and how He changes their lives and how He changed your life. So understand this. This is not an either or. Well, I'm good at encouraging and I'm good at serving, but I'm not good at sharing my faith. I'm not good at witnessing. No. You're supposed to do both. So there should be some task. Maybe it's Meals on Wheels. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's working with the kids around here in Beulah Kids. I don't know what it is. I'm not trying to tell you what it is. But I'm saying there should be a ministry that God has gifted and talented and equipped you to do so that you're serving. And everywhere you go, if it's work, if it's shopping, if it's in your neighborhood, you should be serving Jesus and sharing Jesus. Now let me tell you about the Jackson household. Everybody in the Jackson household has chores. I got my chores, and Tracy has her chores, and David thinks he's almost grown and out of the house. But we have an understanding. Until you're out of the house, and as long as I'm still paying your car insurance, you got chores. Get ready to do them. Tori has chores, and Reagan has chores, and these two squirts on the front row have chores. Everybody in the Jackson household has chores, except her dog. I don't really like her dog. Her dog doesn't really like me. Yesterday, I was at home alone, babysitting those two boys and her dog. Those boys would do what I tell them to do. Her dog doesn't listen to me at all. She goes and she scratches on the door, wanting me to get up and let her out. I promise you, this is not an evangelistic exaggeration in any way, shape, or form. 32 seconds later, she's scratching on the door, wanting to get back in. So here's my point. If you don't serve Jesus and you don't share Jesus, you're a dog just like her little dog. So what I'm saying is, Christians, God's plan for you is to serve and secondly, to share. Now you would think if you're serving and if you're sharing, everything's rosy, everything's hunky-dory, everybody's just going to say, woohoo, go get them. It's not the way it happened. Notice number two, God's prohibition for Christians. So look at verse 6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So Paul heads west to this region of Galatia. And everywhere he went, he saw lost people. Everywhere he went, he saw needs. And so here he is salivating. There's people that need Jesus here. I'm going to share Jesus with this city, and we're going to start a church here. And the Holy Spirit of God said, no, Paul, not here. Wait. God commanded us to go to the ends of the world preaching the gospel. I want to start a church here. And the Holy Spirit says, no. And he put up a road close sign. So look at verse 7. Paul goes north. And they were come to Mysia. They essay to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So Bithynia was north of Asia Minor. Its coastal waters touched the Black Sea. Paul would have gone there and he would have evangelized this city. He would have started a church. He would have started a Bible study. He would have started sharing Jesus and serving these people. And the Holy Spirit said, no. Now understand, Paul was a go-getter. Paul was not someone just to sit and be a spectator. He wanted to get busy. God said, nope, not in the region of Galatia. No, not in Asia Minor, not in Bithynia. No. Here he's trying to open the doors to these cities. Has there ever been a door that you were familiar with and you went and you turned it? And it was locked. So you start knocking on the door. Hey, open up. Hey, kids, unlock the door. You're ringing the doorbell, but the door's locked. I'm here to say it's kind of frustrating. Yes, you're thinking, oh, who locked me out of the house? That was Paul. He's getting frustrated. He's getting confused. He's getting aggravated. He's getting bewildered. God, this second missionary journey, it's not starting off very well. Why do you keep closing the doors in front of me? It gets worse. Look at verse 8. He heads west again along the sea. Verse 8. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. So the missionary team, they walk all over this province of Mysia. Over 60 miles they've traveled in this trek. And they're stopping nowhere to do missionary work. This missionary team says, wait a minute. Paul has painted this picture that we would be sharing the gospel and there would be people being saved and there would be people being baptized. And he had painted this picture that there would be opposition and we would be thrown into jail and we might be beaten and we might be stoned. And he painted this picture and I'm kind of bored. God just keeps telling me, no, God, I want to serve you, but you just keep serving me. No, and Timothy and Silas are saying, man, Paul keeps vetoing every suggestion we make. This is just getting kind of anxious. Know a little bit what he's talking about. About a year ago, we took 20 plus people to New York City to do a mission trip. Well, we were working with three different churches, and so a third of our group went this way to work with a church, and a third of our group went this way to work with a different church, and then my group went this way to work with a third church, working with a predominantly Hispanic church, and we were all traveling by subway, and none of us were super familiar with subways in New York City, so we got on there fired up in the morning. This is going to be great. We're going to go pass out coats in New York City. We're going to show Jesus love and we're going to share Jesus. Woohoo, it's going to be great. We got lost. We were way late getting there. I mean, way late. That the team says, wait a minute, I thought you were the leader here. I thought you knew where we're going. We're just kind of confused and you're clueless, buddy. Well, we did our serving, we did our ministry, we ate some great New York pizza, and then we're trying to get back to the hotel, get home, and we get lost again. And here is this great, wonderful, loving Christian, loving their pastor group, saying, he's clueless about getting around New York City on a subway. Somebody needs to get this old boy a map. That was the situation here. Paul saying, God, you sent me here and now nothing's happening. Hold on a second. When that happens in your life, when God puts up the road closed sign, when you say, no, I really need to get here. And God says, no. How do you respond? How would he have you to act? What would he have you to do? Let me give you three thoughts. How to respond when God closes the door in your face. Number one, divine patience. Divine patience. Troas was a beautiful city. It was an impressive city with great architecture, and it was an important city. It was the harbor with links to Macedonia and to Greece and to Europe. So Paul finally arrives at Troas. And he waits. He had tried to go here, finally gets to this dead end, Troas, and he just waits. I'm sure that his group saying, "Paul, what's the plan now?" And Paul says, "We're going to wait for God to show us." But you want us to go start witnessing here in Troas? Oh, let's just wait for the voice of God. But what do we do in the meantime? He said, "Let's just wait and spend some time seeking the Lord. He'll show us what to do." And friend, there are some things going on in your life, and some of you are kicking against the door. Some of you are banging on the door. "No, I want to go in here." And God's saying, "You're not supposed to go in here." And you're saying, "Please." Now you got nice, "Oh, please, God, let me go through that door. I really want to go through that door." And God's saying, "The road is closed. You cannot go this way." And my word to you, divine patience. Paul would eventually get to Ephesus. He would eventually plant churches in Smyrna and Philadelphia and Laodicea and Colossae and Sardis and Pergamum and Thyatira. But it wasn't time. It was time for him just to wait on God. Now, we live in an instant gratification society. We can have everything now. We even on our TVs, we have on-demand channels so that even if it's not time, we can watch our favorite shows right now. We have microwaves because we don't like to wait. And listen, when you come up against a roadblock of life, God says, "Wait. You're not God, and you're not going to finagle your way around this roadblock. Just wait." Number one, when you come to the roadblocks of life, divine patience. Number two, divine perception. When working for God, we must be attentive to God. Now, I love how Paul was sensitive to the Holy Spirit here. He wanted to go to First Town, this region of Galatia, and the Holy Spirit said no. Why? Because he was attentive to the Holy Spirit. Okay. We'll go to town number two. Yeah. It'll happen here. We'll go here. Okay, that's fine. You know, we'll go here. He was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Hey, if you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, when you accept Jesus as your Savior, you realize that He died on the cross for your sin as your substitute. So you don't have to die and pay for your sin. Jesus already did. You accept Him as your Savior. When you do that, you are giving the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is to lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is to guide you and to direct you. You are to listen to the Holy Spirit. You're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And He gives you divine perception if you'll listen. Some time ago, a couple of years ago, I was flying into Detroit for a connection, and I was flying somewhere else. And the pilot comes over the intercom and says, "Hey, we got some bad weather up ahead. We're just going to be circling in a holding pattern, and I'll get back to you when we have clearance to land." Well, I'm looking at my watch and I'm saying, "I don't like holding patterns. I want to land right now and I really don't want to miss my flight. So, sir, please land the plane." But I'm sitting there in my little seat belt, cramped, waiting and waiting and waiting. Hold on a second. I'm waiting on a pilot who has more understanding than I do. I'm waiting on a pilot who can see further than I can see. I'm waiting on a pilot who knows what's up ahead, and I don't know what's ahead. And I must trust the pilot that he knows best. Hold on a second. Same is true in your life. Some of you have come to some roadblocks in your life, and you're saying, "I don't like where I am. I want to kick the door down. I want to make things happen. And I'm here to say, God is the pilot. God can see further than you can see. God knows better than you know. God has the full picture in His view. Trust Him and stop doubting Him. One of my favorite verses, they're going to put it on the screen. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. That means God delighteth in the path that we're taking. But notice the first part. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We all would say, amen. We believe that God directs our steps. Amen. I'm here to say the stops of a good man are ordered by the Lord as well. And when God says, hold up, just wait here. It's not time. You are to have divine patience and say, you're God, I'm not. I'm just going to trust you. And you're to have divine perception. Holy Spirit, I'm listening, and I'm not moving until you tell me to go. Divine perception. Thirdly, notice this. Divine praise. Now, when you read Acts 16, you find no record of Paul questioning God. You find no record of Paul accusing God. You find no record of Paul comparing himself to anybody else. Well, Barnabas didn't get road closures. Why am I getting road closures? You didn't make Barnabas stop and just sit in the city and wait. Why are you making me stop and sit in the city and wait? He didn't do any comparison. Hold on a second. And it's wrong for you to do comparisons as well. Man, you're running your race, and your race is different than everybody else's race in the world. So stop comparing your race to somebody else. And secondly, stop bemoaning God. God, have you forgotten me? God, have you forgotten my mate? Because I haven't found them, and it looks like I'm going to be single the rest of my life. God, stop accusing God and just trust Him and praise Him. Even when you can't see Him. Several years ago, Steve Monette went on our mission trip to Mexico. And Steve Monette, they live in Boston, and Steve's with Jesus now. But he started just doing mission trips with us. I mean, he went to South Africa with us. He went to Peru with us. He went to Oregon with us. Well, he was going to Mexico with us. And so he left out and was supposed to meet us in Raleigh. He was flying from Boston, and then we're going to fly together out of Raleigh. Well, he calls me. He says, hey, Pastor, I got a problem with my plane. I'm going to be late, but we'll just catch you in Houston before you make that last leg down to Mexico City. I was like, hey, no problem. So we land in Houston. We're there, and I have a message on my cell phone. Hey, Pastor, there's a problem in Providence. I made the first leg, but there's a problem with my second leg. I'm going to be late, but I'll just meet you there. Y'all go on without me, and we'll just meet you down there in Mexico City. Hey, that's cool. No problem. It's all good in the hood. So we get to Mexico City, and we land. We're in our hotel, and I get another message from Steve Monette. He says, hey, I don't know what's happening. But he said, I don't know when I'm supposed to get to Mexico City. I don't know if I will get to Mexico City. But if it's the last thing I do, I'm going to be in Mexico City. So 2 days later, Steve Monette arrives. 2 days later, Steve Monette arrives without a suitcase. Now you got to understand, Steve Monette, I love him. He's with Jesus, and he's 6 foot tall now. But at that time, Steve Monette was like 5'4". So we didn't have anybody Steve Monette size. So here he is down there. We send a bus back to get him from Mexico City. We finally bring him down to where we are, 4 hours from Mexico City without luggage. And Steve Monette arrives, and I'm like, oh no. He's going to be griping. He's going to be smelling from all of this travel. He didn't go home. God bless him for still coming. Oh, he's going to be ill. So I'm just prepared. All right, bro. Good to see you. Hug him. It's good to see you. I figured he was going to be just depressed or ticked off or what. That's what he said. Never forget. He's in heaven now. Never forget what he said. Man, this is awesome. The way he would say awesome. This is awesome. And I said, dude, what's awesome? He said, God redirected me providentially because he wanted me to see people and meet people. And yeah, I don't have luggage, but who cares? He will provide my clothing needs and my hygiene needs. This is just awesome. I said, will you talk to the rest of the group because they don't think it's that awesome. And I'm here, listen to me. The road closure that you're in, the detour that you're experiencing is awesome. You just got to trust God. Oh, if you're trusting you, it's horrible. If you're trusting you, oh man, I didn't plan it like this. If you're trusting you, it stinks. Bellyache and complain. But if God is the pilot and he is arranging your steps and your stops, just praise him. God, this is awesome. And I'm going to trust you through it. Number two, God's prohibition for Christians. Number three, and we're done. God's provision for Christians. So understand the scenario. Paul with road closures, with roadblocks, with preventions. He goes to bed that night with no clarity. He goes to bed tonight saying, God, have you forgotten about me? He goes to bed that night, God, what is your plan? I got this mission team and they're looking at me for leadership. God, what do you want me to do? Notice verse 8. Passing through Mysia, they come down to Troas. Verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, or urged him, or begged him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. What a call! All that Paul desired and more. He was going to be able to preach in the city of Alexander the Great. He was going to be able to preach in the land of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates and Homer. It was a very intellectual society, and Paul was very intellectual. He was going to be able to minister in this mission field of the Greeks, where they were very cultured. It was a great mission field, far greater than anything that he could have wished for or imagined. Listen to this. But he had to wait to get there. But he had to go on some detours to get there. Was it great? Wonderful? Was it outstanding? Yes. Did God use him mightily there? Absolutely. But he had to wait to get there. But he had to take a few detours to get there. So some of you are sitting here today saying, God has forgotten me. God has forgotten my GPS location. God has just shut me down. And I'm here to say, on the authority of Scripture, God has not forgotten you. He's got a plan. He's got a plan for you. Just be ready that when he speaks, you jump. Notice the next verse, verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, this man saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. After he had seen the vision, notice the next word. Immediately we endeavor to go into Macedonia, and assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Paul immediately says, yes! Yes, that's what I've been waiting for. The word from Almighty God, I'm gone. And he went to serve. Let me show you one other very cool word in this verse. And I'm done. Verse 10. Notice what it says. After he had seen the vision, immediately, see the next word? We. I mean, that word we makes me get out my hanky and start waving it. You say, it just looks like a we to me. Friend, it's not just a we. It's a divine appointment from Almighty God. Yeah, what's the deal with we? Well, the writer of the book of Acts was Luke. Luke was a physician. Luke was a physician in Troas. So Bible scholars tell us, F.B. Meyer tells us that Paul went to city number one and God said no. He goes to city number two and God says no. He goes along the sea and he ends up at Troas, bewildered and frustrated, having taken this long journey, having traveled over treacherous terrain, and Paul was not healthy. Paul needed a doctor. So Timothy goes and he goes into town and he's looking for a doctor and he finds a doctor named Luke. And Luke evidently accepted Christ as his Savior because of the testimony of Paul. And Luke was so convinced of Paul and of Jesus that Luke left his doctor of practice and said, "Hey, I'm going with you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve alongside of you." Why did that happen? Roadblocks. Roadblocks that he didn't like. Roadblocks that cost time. Roadblocks that messed up his plan and his agenda. But God brought a Luke into the picture. Let me show you how valuable Luke was. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Croesus to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia." Notice verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Paul is in jail. Paul is in this dirty, nasty, rodent-infested prison. It was horrible. And the one person who stood by him through thick and thin was a guy he met because of a detour. Was a guy he met because of a road closure. A guy he met in a hard time period. So I'm here to say, some of you don't like where you are, but look up, because there's a Luke around there and you got somebody to witness to and you got somebody to minister to if you'll stop bellyaching. And in that scenario, somebody needs Jesus. Otherwise, God wouldn't give you a road closure sign. This is my last verse. I'm done. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Paul, years later, talking about the events of no. The events of no. The events of wait. The events of detours and road closures. Paul writing of those events, this is what he says. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." You know what he's saying? Hey, those road closures, those detours, those things I didn't like and didn't want, they were good. They furthered the gospel. They furthered the kingdom. Hey, I rejoice in those afflictions. And I'm here to say to you, some of you are griping, some of you are complaining, some of you are kicking against the door trying to make things happen. Trust God. God, I believe the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I believe the stops of a good man are ordered by the Lord as well. So through this ordeal, I'm just going to trust you. Let me do this. Let me close with a personal story that includes you. I've been pastor at Beulah Baptist Church now for a little bit over 8 years. About 20 years ago, Beulah was going through some transitions. And Beulah was looking for an assistant pastor some 19, 20 years ago. Beulah called a young buck living in Atlanta, Georgia, named Neil Jackson. "Hey, we're looking for an assistant pastor. You interested?" "Maybe." You got to understand, my grandpa told me, "Neil, if you ever get a chance to take Beulah Baptist Church as a pastor, you need to take it. Those are good people. They're country people, and once you convince them you're the real deal, that they'll be with you. If you ever get a chance," told me this multiple times, "if you ever get a chance to take Beulah Baptist as a pastor, you need to do it." So some 19, 20 years ago, Beulah called, "You interested? We're looking for an associate, and maybe it could work into something. We're not sure." But maybe. So I met in Spartanburg, South Carolina, with a couple of the deacons at that time, and the current pastor. And we had a good little chat, and I was ready to come. Now, in hindsight, I get it that I wasn't supposed to be here. I get it that I was too young and immature. I get it that there was some stuff going on that it probably wouldn't have been a great environment for me to come into. 19, 20 years ago, I didn't get it at all. 19, 20 years ago, Tracy and I were ready to pack up our bags and move to Bennett, North Carolina. And you know what God did to me? He slammed a robe closed in front of me. "Nope. Not right. It'll happen." Didn't tell me at that time it would happen. He just said, "It ain't happening right now." And I was like, "God, but I feel it. God, but I want it. God, why?" 19, 20 years ago, I didn't get it. Today, I totally get it. I can say like Paul, "Hey, it's better than I could ever imagine. Oh, I still got my heartaches, but it's wonderful. I'm loving life, except on Mondays. I'm loving life, and I'm loving Jesus, and I'm loving most everybody else. It's great." 19, 20 years ago, you wouldn't have been liking me, and it's quite possible I wouldn't have been liking you. Here's what I'm saying. Trust God to be God in your situation. I don't know what your situation is, but I know God is big, and He is orchestrating things according to His will. So stop kicking, stop cussing, stop spitting, and say, "God, you're God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and you delight in His way. And God, I believe, even though I don't like it, the stops of a good man are ordered by the Lord as well. And I'm just going to trust you.